My God and my Father, I thank you for your wonderful presence, for what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you choose to visit, but you have chosen to do so. And we're glad. We're grateful. We are honored. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of our human limitations, to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. So we need help, supernatural assistance. Therefore we pray and ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God, and pray that the same unction and anointing upon me be put upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. This word will have free course, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more controlled by the power and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as the word goes forth, power in sufficient measure will be released to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that indeed I would do it, Lord God, with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, and all that I said in that prayer, receiving it in their individual lives, agreed with me and said, this afternoon I want to share with us on being fully persuaded, Romans chapter 4, Romans the 4th chapter, and I'm going to be reading from verse 18. Firstly, in the King James Version, Romans 4, verse 18 through 21. We will start with that. He's talking here about our father Abraham, and Abraham's life is exemplary. And in particular, there's a prophetic application to us today that runs in parallel with what Abraham experienced at this time. So speaking of Abraham, he said, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Let me just quickly chip in, you know, because I'm trying to run this thing in parallel. See, God has spoken a word to us today, and that word is the life of God made manifest in your mortal flesh. Just as it was difficult for Abraham to believe that a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman could have a baby, so it is today difficult to believe that this outward man that has been perishing will suddenly partake of the life of God in this mortal flesh. It's an exact parallel. The magnitude of what we have to believe is on the same level. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just flowing with the Spirit. He said that, you know, we who have the fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit. The word to wit is Old English. It means to experience the redemption of our body. So the word that was spoken to Abraham was that you will be a father of many nations at the age of 99 and 90. The word that is spoken to us today is that the life of God made manifest in your mortal flesh. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together. That's the word of God to us today.
So let's keep reading. And being not weak in faith, I didn't hear you. He considered. No. Go to New International Version. This is where we switch into this new translation, because I believe it's better rendered here, particularly for the particular emphasis of what I'm talking about. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Turn to your neighbor and say, face the facts. Face the facts. Don't live in denial. See, Christians, many times, you know, we're so, we call it faith, but it's foolishness. Face the fact. This body is perishing. The outward man, as of today. So Abraham faced the fact. Let's go on. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. In our own case, we face the fact that the mortal flesh is perishing. We face the fact that he doesn't have incredible photographic memory. We face the fact that he doesn't have incredible language learning skills. We face the fact that he doesn't have those artistic, incredible artistic talents, mathematical, musical abilities. We face that fact. It's a fact. We face it. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. See, Abraham did not live in denial. He faced the fact. And you and I must face the facts. Yet, I like this. Yet, I face the fact, but yet, he did not waver through unbelief concerning the promise of God. I face the fact, but I do not waver in faith concerning the promise of God that the life of God made manifest in my mortal flesh. You got to keep it in parallel. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief concerning the promise of God, but was strengthened, in his faith and gave glory to God. That's what Pastor Andrew got us to do now, particularly concerning Nigeria. Face the fact, we have corrupt politicians. We're a legend in corruption. A study. We face the fact, but yet we do not stagger at unbelief concerning the promise of God about the nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that the rivers divide, that will show forth the glory of God in the end time. That's the promise of God. But we face the facts of what we are facing now. Are you listening to me? But was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. Oh, I didn't hear you. I did not hear you, folks. That God had the power to do what he had promised. Now, this is the bottom line. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to give life to your mortal flesh? The answer is hanging in the wind. The answer, my friends, is blowing in the wind. The answer is hanging in the air, because my answer and your answer may not be the same. What is the answer hovering over your head? Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to give life to your mortal flesh so that he will redeem this body in this life? That is the reason for this prophetic exhortation. I, by the mercy and the grace of God, will show you how you can become fully persuaded if you are not yet fully persuaded, and how you can remain and increase in that full persuasion if you already have it.
So I dare say all of us need it. Especially in these perilous times.
So let's try and unravel this thing by the Holy Spirit as He helps us. Now, God wants us to be fully persuaded that our outer man, outward man, this is the physical body, that is currently perishing, will suddenly one day, in this time in which we're living in, have the life of God made manifest inside it, and then become an object of admiration. I shared that with us the other time. It says to be admired amongst all them that believe. Another scripture, it's one of my favorites. It's in Isaiah. It says, you know, men of stature will come and bow and say, surely they will see it. They will see the life of God manifest in the mortal flesh. Now, let me say a few words about facts and truth. What Abraham did is our example. He faced the fact. He did not live in denial that his physical body was dead. Was, well, not dead, but as good as dead. He was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. Her womb was already dead. Menopause, long past, you know. All the breasts were flat. You can imagine a 90-year-old woman. There was nothing there. You know, so he faced those facts. But in spite of those facts, something happened. God appeared to him. See, you have to look at the timeline of the events. At that time, Abraham was, I won't say backslidden, but he was not in a very good level of fellowship with God. He had I'm looking for a nice word. He had displeased God. That's a good word. God loved him, but he had displeased God. He and Sarah, two of them together, by going to Hagar and having a child, Ishmael, thinking that that was how God was going to do it. God was displeased. He did that when he was 86 years old. This was 14 years later. God appears to him and he expresses his displeasure. First thing he says is, walk before me and be upright. Come on, stop misbehaving. That's in today's language. Then God gave him a promise in real time. And that's what I'm doing now. He gave him a rhema word. He gave me a present word, a present truth word. He said, at the time of life, Sarah will have a son. You will have a son like I said. And Abraham, just like us, the first thing he says, ah, God, let Ishmael live before thee. Okay, I've missed it. I've made a mistake. But at least there's Ishmael. And God said, no. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. It's not this Ishmael that's going to get the job done. I said, you're going to have a baby. He said, at 100? No, Abraham was a very straightforward fellow. 100? God asked him a question, and he's asking us, you and I, the same question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Turn to your neighbor and say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is it too hard for God? We're talking. Is it too hard for God to give life to your mortal flesh? Believest thou this? I'm taking us on a journey. And it
parallels the journey, that the same thoughts that were going on through the mind of Abraham should be going on in our own minds. And just like Abraham had to change his position, you have to change your position. Abraham had a paradigm shift. You and I must have a paradigm shift in this regard about the manifestation of the life of God in our mortal flesh. So God said to him, yeah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And he called Sarah. Sarah heard, she even laughed. Unbelief. Shall I have pleasure of my Lord? And God said, you laughed. She said, oh, I didn't laugh. God said, you. Okay, you will see. And the Lord left. And then he told him to do certain things. He said, circumcise thyself. A 90-year-old man, 99. You could kill him. Knowing today's medical something. In those days when they didn't have anesthetics, they didn't have any way of sterilizing the instruments. Very dangerous. If he didn't trust God, he wouldn't have done it. You're not going to start circumcising yourself at 100 years old. It can kill you. You can lose blood, you know, get infected. Correct, doctor? Easily. I'm sure that went through his mind. But what did he have to lose? He would die anyway. You might as well believe God. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Might as well believe God. Which was what he did. He said that very day. And Abraham did not delay. He had learned his lesson. That day he circumcised all the male in his something. And the Bible lets us know that within a few, you know, we don't know how long. Maybe a few weeks. You know, I'm sure. You know, Sarah got pregnant. Not only did she get pregnant, what has been promised now in the New Testament, they experienced it. There was a renewal of the physical body. The body that was perishing before stopped perishing and started getting renewed. So much so that a king saw her and wanted to marry her. Without the Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3, and Mark 4. Something happened to her skin. Something, yes. It was literally a renewing of the outer man. I got good news for you. If under the Old Testament, God was able to renew the physical body of Abraham and Isaac, of Abraham and Sarah, how much more now, under a better testament, established upon better promises, will God not renew our mortal flesh? Are you beginning to get fully persuaded? It's a paradigm shift. You have to think through this thing with me. By the time we finish, you'll be fully persuaded. Or on the way to. Hello, somebody. So, now, something here very important. Everybody say facts and truth. Facts, physical facts are physical realities. They are facts. But the word of God is the truth. There's a difference. The truth is eternal. The facts are temporal. When you superimpose truth upon fact, fact will change to align with truth. I'm going to say that again. Physical realities are facts. It's a fact your body is perishing. But the truth is that the life of God made manifest in your mortal flesh. If you now take the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit and you superimpose it upon the physical fact is temporal. It is subject to change. So the truth will now change the fact, and the fact will not align with the truth. Is it clear? That is what God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your mind via this message. Amen.
So we don't deny the fact, but we have something that is more powerful than the facts. It's called the truth. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then it says, thy word is truth. So, thy word, the word says, I will give life to the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, will give life to your mortal flesh. The life of God shall be made manifest in your mortal flesh. That's the truth. But the fact is that the mortal flesh is currently perishing. So when you now put the truth, and you now put it on top of the fact will change, and it will align itself with the truth. You know why? Truth is eternal. Facts are temporal. Is it clear? And that's what this whole business is about, that I'm talking about, of being fully persuaded. Now, the reason why we must become fully persuaded, Pastor Wega touched on this on Wednesday. I encourage you to get that message on affliction worketh glory. And you've seen Romans chapter 5. Let's quickly just turn one page. And I'm going to read from verses 1 through 5 as well as verse 10. The reason why we must be fully persuaded is that we must come to understand. One, God is not dishonest. Number two, when God gives us a hope, we are not going to be ashamed of that hope. You know, this preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. If this thing doesn't happen, we'll say, Pastor Lubi. Shame. But the Bible tells us that that hope will not be disappointed. That is why you must become fully persuaded. So that in your own individual life, that hope will not be disappointed. Is this clear? Now let's look at Romans chapter 5. And look, let's start from verse 1. Therefore, I didn't hear you. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, I didn't hear you, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And do what? Rejoice in the what? Hope of the glory of God. That's why what Pastor Andrew did today, in the last song, he says, rejoice. Rejoice. What are we rejoicing? We're rejoicing in the hope. We haven't seen it yet, but we're rejoicing in it. Though the fig tree should not blossom. Let's put it this way. Though my outward man is still perishing, yet will I rejoice in the hope of the glory that is to come. Is this clear? Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. The life of God being made manifest in the mortal flesh in full measure. Rejoice in the hope of the glory. Not only so, I didn't hear you. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Let's use there's a word the Lord gave me, Pastor Buga. Let's use the word trigger. You see, tribulation, it triggers it triggers patience. Patience will trigger experience. Then experience will trigger hope. You know, when you have a trigger of a gun, you see, one thing actuates the next thing. On Wednesday, I was sharing with us like a flow chart. You have to see the tribulation will kick, it will kick patience consistent. When you feel the pressure, when you feel the pain, when you feel the weakness, it drives you to God. And you start acting on the word of God consistently. That's what patience is. As you stay consistent with the word of God through faith and prayer, you will inherit the promise. When you inherit the experience, do you understand? That experience will now give you hope for the victories of tomorrow. The experience of victory of today gives you hope for the challenges of tomorrow. That's why it's important to walk with God. See, the man who is strong is the man who has had a lot of experiences behind him of using the word of God. So he now, like David and Goliath, you know, he now knows, like David who killed the bear and David who killed the lion had the hope that he would kill Goliath. If he hadn't had those experiences, he would not be able to trust. He couldn't face Goliath if he had not faced the bear and the lion. You know the reason why so many people here, you know, not just here, but so many Christians don't believe in perfection?
and they don't believe in this glory, they haven't even experienced some other things behind. The reason why people like us are so passionate and we believe it is because we've had a lot of experiences. I have had the life of God manifest in my mortal flesh. I have had it manifest in my brain. Not something I've, not in the fullness, but I've had a little bit of the measure. So I know it's true. So I know the full thing is on the way. And that's why God allows you to come under pressure. Tribulation will trigger consistency. Consistency will trigger victory and experience. Victory and experience will trigger hope for higher things. Everybody say, the victory of today, the experience of victory today will give you hope for the challenges of tomorrow. Christian, the Christian life is a continuous series of challenges. Let me use another natural illustration. This is not, probably is not the best, but let me just say, you know, like when you're in university, you know, I like the UI system. You know, it wasn't Almighty June. This is called Almighty June before we came in. There was one big exam in June, and you either pass or fail, and that's the end of it. So they changed some BS before I came in. They changed what's called course system. That's what they use in America, you know, which is what they use now. Now, every year, you do a set of courses. Those courses, you have to pass them. When you pass them, they are prerequisites for some other courses. So there are certain courses at 200 level. You have to have passed a 100 level course before you are qualified to register for the 200 level course. They are prerequisites. Then if you pass 200 level course, it now gives you prerequisites for certain 300 level courses. Then when you pass some 300 level course, it now gives you prerequisites for 400 level courses, you know, until you graduate. It's the same thing in spiritual. The reason why people now are not fully persuaded is that he hasn't even passed any 100 level course. That's why he's not fully persuaded. You know why I'm fully persuaded? I passed 100 level, 200 level, 300 level. The only one I'm waiting for now is 400 level. So I'm very sure it's going to happen. When you look at, yes, when you look at your results and you see from, you know, in your prelim, they don't do prelim anymore. They call 100 level. You know, you got these particular marks. You know, then you got these marks in your 200 level, then you got these marks in your 300 level, and you're pretty sure you're going to make it first class. You're fully persuaded that the first class is just around the corner. Whereas a guy who has been getting 40s in something, even though he even passed the course, but he just barely scraped, you know, part one, part two. When he gets to 300 level, 400 level, he's not sure. So when he begins telling me you should be fully persuaded, just be looking at you. Don't look at me. I'm going to help you. Are you listening to me? Now, that's the whole purpose of this message. Patience, experience, hope. Now, look at the next verse. And hope maketh not ashamed. Everybody shout it. Give this to me in the New International Version, and then possibly also in the Amplified. Let's see the Amplified. I think the Amplified is better. Thank you. Amplified. Such hope never what? Disappoints or deludes us or shames us. I like that particular word, delude. You know, people who are hearing me preach say, this man is deluded. I know people have said that in their hearts. Is this not a delusion? Can we ever manifest the life of God? I know you, we are all like Martha. I know he will rise. Your brother will rise again. Ah, Lord, you know I'm a believer. We are all believers. I believe in the word of God. Yeah, I know he shall rise again at the last day. Jesus just brought it to today. That's what I'm doing now. We all put it up. Life will be manifest now. When we get resurrected. But the Bible says, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Now. Jesus didn't put it on. Did Lazarus die? He died.
And he was raised again on the last day later on. Do you understand? But there was an experience for Lazarus at that time, as there is an experience for us today. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. Such hope. I didn't hear you. Never. Oh, shout it. Shout it. Disappoints or deludes or shames us. You will not be put to shame. We're not deluded, though. Like Felix said to Paul, he said, "You are mad." People have said that to me. Many, not one, not two. When I first got born again, I started getting revelation knowledge, and I started preaching. When I first started preaching, all the, you know, I heard Kenneth Copeland in Tulsa preach about the law of the spirit of life. And I started preaching that in England before I ever heard Kenneth Copeland. So I told God, I said, "God, this man is preaching my message." God said, "No, your message is not his message, it's my message." You know, and I started using Newton's law of motion to explain faith. You're looking at me. Yeah, I used it. I preached this in our church in England. I preached it in Trafalgar Square, you know, in London. This is many, many years ago. I stood on the steps, you know. I went to just in front of Imperial College, the Royal Albert Hall. Preached myself happy, you know, and explained it. If, you know, Newton's law of motion says forces equal to mass and acceleration. Let's make it simple. You know, if you have a big mass and you have a tiny force, it will just move slowly. If you have a smaller mass and you have a bigger force, it will move faster. It really, Ranger, let's just leave it. Okay? If what you are believing God for, the mass is big, and your faith force is small, it will take a longer time to come into manifestation. If your faith force is large and you hit the thing, it will come to manifestation faster. It is Newton's law of motion in the spirit. You know what they said? They said the boy is mad. One in mass, if it's one, he died. They said that about me. Even my mother said that. When I first came back, yeah, everybody's like, "Lori Eti Daru." One out of my mom's the only woman Daru. No, like the Apostle Paul, I speak words of soberness and truth. I'm not deluded. It's the truth. It's the truth. If your faith is strong and powerful, your answers will come faster. So if you have the same mass and you reduce the force, the acceleration will be slower. If you have the same mass and you increase the force, the acceleration will be higher. That's simple. The same laws in the spirit, in the natural, hold in the spirit. Am I talking to anybody here? Or you two think I'm mad? That's all right. They said Jesus was mad. They said Paul was mad. I'm in good company. Hello, somebody. So now we know you are mad. You're not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? So, yeah, stay with us, mad guys. In revelation knowledge. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Now, jump to verse 10 and let's go back to the King James now, quickly. Watch this. If when we were enemies, we were, watch this thinking. There's a thought pattern here the Holy Spirit gave to Paul. You need to catch it. Catch it. If when we were enemies, let's read first and I'll paraphrase. For if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the, what? The death of his son. Much more. Being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Hey. Step back. What's Paul saying? Let me put this way. If before I got born again, God reconciled to me to himself by Jesus' death. When Jesus died, then God had the legal basis to give me eternal life and got me born again. Now I am born again and I have the life of God in me. He said, if he could do that when I was an enemy and he did that through the death of his son, now that his son has been raised from the dead, and that son is the one praying for me. That son now that I am saved, he has saved my spirit, that son now can save my body. Hallelujah. Because you see, I'm already saved. So the saving he's talking about there is not the saving of being born again. He said, being reconciled. If I'm reconciled, I'm already saved. Shall we be saved by his life? Talking about the salvation of the physical body. Through the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life of God be made manifest in the mortal flesh. So I'm saved now by Zoe. Zoe now not just stay in my spirit, it now goes into the body. Am I talking to anybody here? So this hope is not going to be disappointed. Did you hear me? I said the hope will not going to be disappointed. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something else that will really encourage you. And it is this. If we have experienced the first fruits, we have. We're born again and we speak in tongues. And we know that the tongues we're speaking is not rubbish. Hello? No, we don't even know what you are saying anyway. You know, how do you even know that tongues you are speaking is even me? Is it really real? Because it's real. I had a personal experience where I spoke Aramaic, even though I didn't know it was Aramaic I was speaking, and somebody told me I was. But let's even put my own personal experience aside. You know, hey, praying tongues. You said, get revelation. You pray in tongues, you're strengthened. You pray in tongues, you are edified. It's a real experience. Try it. Don't pray in tongues for the next 3 days. Then come and see me. All of a sudden, the Bible will become a dark book. That's how you know your tongues is real. You don't know the details of the language you're speaking, but you are speaking mysteries. Speaking in tongues of men and of angels. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. If God was powerful enough to get your spirit reborn, and powerful enough to make your physical tongue talk in the tongues of men and of angels, trust me, he's powerful enough to put the life of God in your mortal flesh. That's the argument. And I told you that by the time we're closing, you'll be fully persuaded. You should be fully persuaded by now. Your experience of the new birth, he said, if when we were enemies, your experience of the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the foundation. Hallelujah. For your trust and your belief that the life of God made manifest in your mortal flesh. If you have experienced the new birth and you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why should it be difficult for you to believe that God can make the life of God manifest in your mortal flesh? It is that experience with that honest and sincerity of heart that takes you to a place of becoming fully persuaded. Observe how he says Abraham was strong in faith. How do you get, you know, when I read things in the Bible, I always like asking questions like the Lord Jesus. How did David call him Lord? If he's his Lord. I took that from Jesus, from the Lord Jesus. And over the years, it has helped me because the Holy Spirit will ask me those kind of questions. I'm reading the Bible. Then he will give me the answer also from the Bible. Are you listening to me? That's how you learn. You know, if you have experienced the new birth and you've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the life of the power of God has been made manifest in your mortal flesh, even though in a very small measure, what we call the earnest, but it's a real experience. It's a foundation for you to easily believe that what he started, he will finish. Are you listening to me? But to do that, you have to be strong in faith. How do you get strong in faith? Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me quickly tell you, how do you get strong in faith? Faith involves, well, let's quickly define it. Faith is trusting in the reality of what God has said without initial, and the word initial is very important. It sounds like physics, but it's the same thing. You know, it's true. You know, Christianity is a study of God's character and God's power, which is spiritual. What is physics? It's the study of physical energy. Both of them are studies of energy. One is spiritual, the other is physical. That's why there are so many laws that are in parallel. Are you listening to me? Another message for another day. Okay? But the important point here is, how do I get strong in faith? Trusting that the reality of what God has said is true without initially having any physical experience of the experience. Then you must now add works to faith. Faith without works or corresponding actions is dead. Now, what are the works, in plural, of faith that cause a spiritual reality to now come into physical manifestation? Hello? There are four of them. I'll go them very quickly. Number one, do you understand? There is the work, there is a labor for life. It's in Proverbs chapter 16. It says, when you labor, you know, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Life scripture is very important too. It's work. If you try, you know. It's spirit. It's not physical work. That's why Jesus said, he said, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? He said, this is that you might believe. Check it out. And he was very specific. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. For without that, you have no Zoe in you. So there is a work to get Zoe. Then there is the work of prayer. He says, Epaphras, who's one of you laboring fervently. Prayer is work. Now, it's not physical work. It's spiritual work. But it's work. These are the works of faith. Are you listening to me? Then, let me just check my the sequence which I put them good. Then there's work in the word. There's labor to study. You know, that's why people are lazy and don't read their Bible and they don't study their Bible. Because it's work. Labor, he says, give honor to the elders that labor in the word. So there's labor for life. There's labor in reading your Bible, meditating, speaking, confession. If you're doing these things on a daily basis, you know it's work. Hello, somebody. It's work. And then there is the labor of love. It's very interesting, Pastor G, that faith, love is the works of faith. Because faith worketh by love. If you want faith to work, you have to walk in love. If you don't walk in love, it will short circuit your faith. Again, we're using this an electrical physics expression. There's a very close parallel. Are you listening to me? You short circuit your faith. That's why you have to walk in love. For faith worketh by love. The person who is not walking in love, his faith won't work. That's why the first thing that came out of Jesus' mouth, when he gave the very popular faith teaching from Mark 11:23, popularized by Kenneth Hagin, and he said, "Whosoever shall say to the mountain, 'Be removed and be cast,' and shall not doubt himself, but shall believe that the thing which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he says." Talking, making emphasis on the spoken word that's going to release power that will create and bring physical, spiritual reality into physical manifestation. Then the next thing that comes out, and when you stand praying, forgive. Because he knew right there that if you are praying in faith with an unforgiving heart, if you're not walking in love, you just shortcut that faith, it will not work. So that the four things: labor in for life, labor in the word, which involves reading, study, meditation, you know. Then there is labor in prayer, which involves tongues, groaning, travail. Then there is labor in love. How are you going to be strong in faith? Be strong in all those labors. Exactly. Be strong in all those labors, and then you'll be strong in faith. I know what's going to happen. When you are strong in faith, it's easy for you to give glory to God. You know why? You know the answer is coming. That's what Abraham did. The Bible says, and Abraham, he did not stagger in unbelief at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Psalm 50 says, you know, offer unto God thanksgiving. In verse 23, it goes on to say, you know, whosoever offereth praise, glory. So how do you give glory to God? By thanksgiving. So as you pray, as you labor in life, you give thanks. As you labor in the word, you give thanks. As you labor in prayer, you give thanks. As you labor in love, you give thanks. You'll be giving glory to God. Your faith will be strong. And that which you are fully persuaded of will come to pass as surely as Abraham's did. Let us pray. Talk to God. Being fully persuaded. Sure. I give a short exhortation as we're praying. Why was Abraham so sure? Now, I'm moving it up a little bit here. You see, God gave him the foundation of Isaac, of the birth of Isaac, to give him the hope for the sacrifice of Isaac. Ne karama kastofredes. You see, when Abraham saw that God was able to get his 100-year-old body and 90-year-old womb of Sarah to give birth to Isaac, it was not difficult for Abraham to believe that if I kill this Isaac, God will raise him from the dead. And he received him such in a figure. The experience of today gives hope for the challenge of tomorrow. Are you listening to me? So it is for you. Once you have experienced the new birth and you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it gives you the foundation for believing the experience of perfection. Talk to God. You should be fully persuaded now. You should be fully persuaded now. I will bless you and I will make you rich, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed to you. At that time he had no son. But he experienced the victory over the kings. He experienced, and Abraham was very rich. So he had experiences with God. So when it now came and God appeared to him and said, "You're going to have a child." Even though he said, "I'm only 100 years old. It can't happen." And God said, "Is there anything too hard for you?" He remembered. And then he believed. Remember what God has done for you. Then you become fully persuaded of what God will do for you. I will say it again. Remember what God has done for you, and then you will have faith for what God will. You'll be fully persuaded about what God will do for you. Stand to your feet. Let my life be the temple of your spirit. Let my spirit fill the warmth of your embrace.
nation. Where your spirit is pleased to dwell.
Persuaded in your heart, in your mind. Put the other hand to God. Raise the other hand to God. Jesus was fully persuaded. Lazarus would rise from the dead. He was fully persuaded. He wasn't going there to try something. Because he had been strong in faith. The homework had been done. The Bible says when he heard, he stayed where he was for 2 days. He was crossing his T's and dotting his I's. When he stepped out knowing exactly what he was going to do. He said, no man walks in this world except he has the light. He said, they want to stone you. I'm moving in the light of the Spirit. Raise that hand. You need to become fully persuaded. I encourage everybody, go and download this message. Listen to it over and over. If you're not yet fully persuaded, and if you are fully persuaded and you want to stay and even increase in that persuasion, and listen to it over and over again, because the logic is irrefutable. It's irrefutable. I'm talking about spiritual logic now, based on the Word of God. It's it is clear. If when we were enemies, God reconciled us by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by His life? Come off it, bros. Come off it. Come off it. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this prophetic exhortation. I thank you for this prophetic exhortation on becoming fully persuaded that you are able to manifest the life of God in fullness in my mortal flesh. I repent of staggering in unbelief at this promise. Lord, I repent like Abraham my father repented. I repent of past failures, past unbelief, where I have laughed, where I have not believed. But I have heard your word today, and now I believe, because I know you are true. I have been born again. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I have spoken in tongues. I know the first fruits is true, and therefore the full harvest is also true. I am fully persuaded by your mercy and by your grace. I will remain and increase my strength in faith. I will be strong and grow stronger in faith as I labor for life through your word, as I labor in the word, in reading, in study, in meditation, as I labor in prayer, in speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and in with travail, as I labor in love, walking in love towards men, even when it's not convenient, as I labor in these things by your mercy and grace, by the power of your Spirit, giving glory to you, I know that which I am fully persuaded of will become a reality in my life, in this lifetime, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Lika to frenenga, being fully persuaded. Zekara karamash to frenenges, la prike to frenes, lo prike to frenea, jekika ze frenenga tula, la prike to frenengi toske frenes, nongala katolo mosha, lombrike tolo moshiko. In Jesus' name. I can see that the children are ready at the back. Everybody put one hand on your body. Raise the other hand to God. We're going to pray. Confess the word of God. concerning our healing and health. I don't have to repeat to you the vital importance of staying healthy, staying alive, so you can live long enough to fulfill the fullness of your destiny, the perfection, the fullness of Christ, see it in manifestation. Experience. He says, I will show him, I will reveal, and he will experience my salvation. It's not about being born again. It's talking about this spirit, soul, and body salvation, where the life of God is made manifest in the mortal flesh. It's very important to stay alive. And that's why God, in his mercy, I see medical science as an act of the mercy of God, given such wisdom to man. They just take a little 5 millimeters of your blood out of your body with a syringe, and they can tell so many things that are going on inside our whole body. Just a little. That's the wisdom of God. Just by looking at the white blood cells, the red blood cells, look at your urine, and it tells the whole story. That's the wisdom of God. So make use of that mercy. Make use of that wisdom of God. Obey the laws, we're going to say it now, of natural medicine, hygiene. Don't be stupid. Don't be foolish. Don't do foolish things that will just throw your life away. Live long enough to fulfill your prophetic destiny. Touch that body. Raise the hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. I say that by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life, and power, we are healed. I am healed because Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I have been legally set free. I didn't hear you. From sickness and disease, therefore, sickness and disease do not have a legal right in my body, and I will not permit them to stay in my body. I declare with my mouth that by his resurrection, life, and power, I am healed, and I release that resurrection life now into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidney, all of my internal organs, all of my blood vessels, into every cell, and into the DNA of every cell in my physical body, so that it will operate error-free. My immune system will operate optimally in the name of Jesus. And so I say, I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekaramana, now don't pray Mickey Mouse with devil. Shikitofrenela matofrenes. Zafrikatalas. Shikitofreningara. Loprina tona katuske fres. Tolomastofres. Tolomatolomatolomatofreshe. Zofrega clamatolomasha. Zikitofre. Zofrega. Lamprikitofrenes. Zofredia. Laprikitoska. Tolomatolomatolomatofreshe.
Lufrinis, Jikitufres, Tolamangaras, Zufrinis, Nofridiles, Nofridis, Likaras, Tufrinis, Nufridis, Talas, Tufrides. In Jesus' name. Put your hands down. Just before we share the fellowship, the grace, two things I want to say. Number one, this principle of being fully persuaded, I've applied it in this very important
an imminent area of the manifestation of the life of God in our mortal flesh. But you can use the same principle to believe God for anything. So what's that thing you are going through? Go to the Word of God. Find out what the Bible says about it. This same principle, if God was faithful in getting you born again, faithful in getting you with the Holy Spirit, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are for you, yea and amen. There is nothing you are believing God for that you cannot get. Become fully persuaded of not just resurrection life, but of everything in the Bible. Be fully persuaded about your prosperity. Be fully persuaded about your protection. Be fully persuaded about your long life. You will not die. You will live. Why? I'm fully persuaded. That's not a boast too. The difference between boasting and being reckless and being presumptuous. You know, I know I cannot keep myself alive. It's God who's going to keep me alive. So I don't say that with an arrogance and an air of arrogance and boastfulness. No. Love is not boastful. I'm telling you from confidence based on the Word of God. Amen. I can't keep myself alive. It's God who will keep me alive. But by operating the principles that God has put inside His Word, I am fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded that I will live, I will not die. I will live long enough to fulfill my destiny. And I will not die unless me and God agree on when, where, and how. Because I have dominion over death. That amen was not very strong. Let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, I said there were two things. I forgot the second one. Immediately we just started sharing the grace. The Lord just reminded me. Whenever you say, Father, I confess my sins, don't always say to clean with the blood. So many people, Father, I confess my sins. Father, I confess my sins. The purpose of the confession of the sin is to be cleaned by the blood. If you do not add and so clean by the blood, you will have a sin consciousness. Two things. One, we say we confess our sins because not only you alone. Yeah, I haven't done anything, but what about the guy next to you? Or people in your sphere of influence. You don't know what they've done. But God has given us the power. He said, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. So don't waste it. Use it. It's a blank check. Fill it every day. Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. Second thing. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. It means every time you clean, it's a complete sweep. Hop! And the whole channel becomes clear again. Take advantage of it. It's a complete sweep. It's not some. It's a cleanse off of all. Clean it out. So, you know, if you keep doing that thing consistently, 6 times, 7, 10, 20 times a day, your heart will be clean all the time. Life will be flowing constantly. Then you won't be struggling the way you are struggling. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. I said head and not tail. I said head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. I said everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. I said you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay fully persuaded. God bless you. Have a great week.